This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo. Joining me in the studio is Purdue President Mitch Daniels, as he does once a month. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
We want to talk about the merit pay freeze plan that you announced, and the purpose is to help manage the two-year tuition and most fees freeze. Talk a little bit about this plan. Let's start with the basics as to who it affects and implementation.
It affects administrators and professionals above $50,000, which is to say it does not affect any clerical worker or any worker paid up to $50,000, does not affect faculty. So it's a first step. Gets us about $5 million toward the $40 million that we'll not be asking families for in a tuition increase.
Where did the idea come about? Why is this the first step?
It seemed to me, I'll take responsibility for it, but I don't think it's a blindingly original notion. First of all, it suggests that those who are in the higher paid positions are in a better place to forego an increase. We're not cutting anybody's pay or anybody's job, at least at this point. And secondly, it means to recognize that the core of the enterprise is teaching and research and engagement. And that those of us, starting with me, who work in purely administrative jobs, are really there to support that mission. And what we do is not an end in itself. So I guess those are the two reasons. But again, this to me it was a fairly natural first place to start.
Did you get input from anybody about the $50,000 range?
I talked to the University Senate leadership and to the broader advisory committee, which is part of that group. We talked to a lot of people about it, and there are some issues. We've had a little bit of feedback from some faculty and others suggesting this or that adjustment. So we'll look at all that, but we needed to set the level where it would raise a material amount of money and not be a purely symbolic step. We do have to find a little over $40 million. In fact, I hope we'll find more than that for the benefit of student affordability. With this and with other steps that we may take, we'll sure listen and stay open to the good input.
I've been getting some questions. Mm-hmm. Does this affect then associate and assistant vice presidents, provost, deans?
Sure.
Okay.
Assuming they're above $50,000, and I think most of them are well above that.
Someone asked also about stipends or incentive pay, and I don't know how many people on campus get incentive pay other than you, I think.
Well, that's right. As far as I know, my contract's the only one structured that way. But that has not come up, and I think anything of that kind would not be affected. We're talking about base wages. So, frankly, I'd be cheered up to know that we had a fairly significant amount of incentive pay around. I think this is a good principle when it's well done. I haven't encountered any of it yet, but that's encouraging news.
And you said this is a first step. What's maybe a timeline? You said the other day at the Faculty Senate meeting that another announcement will be coming. But
well, I just mean to say that we're already looking at other actions. I don't think we need to rush or be impulsive about this. Don't need to solve it all in the first few weeks. We're talking about 2 years. Obviously, I want to know that we have dealt responsibly with it well ahead of that time. But we're not under huge time pressure either. So we want to walk. We want to look at each action. First of all, to make sure that we have quantified things correctly, make sure that that the savings we believe we're going to achieve are real. Won't do any good to take a step which proves illusory. The money gets spent in some other way or never really was reduced. And try to make certain there are not unintended consequences, which is always a risk.
Doing that count up to $40 million, is this where the student affordability and accessibility account comes into play? Talk a little bit about that.
Right. Well, you ask about input, and a consistent bit of input that I got over the last many weeks was that I would say two things, and particularly from faculty, very sympathetic to the need to keep Purdue accessible to students of all income levels and to keep tuition from rising quite so fast. But a very appropriate question. So we show restraint in some other area. How do we know the money just won't be spent on some new enthusiasm of the administrations? Very good question. And that's why we set up the device of the affordability account. We will credit any savings that any college, department, or administrative unit achieves directly to that, to address that concern so that they can know for certain that their good deed in finding a way to economize went to the benefit of students and not didn't leak out in some way they'd only learn about later.
Because that has been a concern, I think, legitimately, that X department says, yeah, we'll give up salary increases for a year, only to find out that department Z is getting the money instead.
Well, I know that in the past there were frequently reductions imposed on all departments, the money gathered together and then reallocated to things that the administration at the time thought were strategic. Now, that's not necessarily a bad idea. An organization that never rotates resources from lower priorities to higher priorities will not be a successful organization for long. But I think that in the past, at least as related to me by many people, there was a sense of a lack of visibility, therefore sometimes suspicion that the money was being spent maybe in ways it wasn't. So I said to the university senate, I really would vastly prefer not to use, again, what we now can think of as a sequester. That's the modern term for a percentage reduction across every program, every college, good, bad, or in between. But rather to invite and encourage people all over the university to step forward voluntarily with ways they could economize for the benefit of our students. So let's see how that works and hope we don't need to once again use that device that gave rise to some of those questions and suspicions.
And I think the example or question from a senator the other day came up that, is this going to affect or how does this affect the strategic hiring within the College of Engineering?
Yeah. Well, great question then and now. Won't affect it at all. In fact, I have a meeting at least every 2 weeks on this subject. It's a very important, exciting initiative for the future of our university. And you cannot let either the inertia of existing spending or economies, when they are found, penalize. You can't let the old penalize the new. So we will always be looking for the investments that will make Purdue an even greater place in the future. Now, frankly, I think of student affordability as an investment. It's an investment in young people who might otherwise choose a different school when they really deserve to be at Purdue.
So let's say I'm a Purdue employee, which I am, but hypothetically, what do you want somebody with an idea to do? Should they contact you? Should they talk to their supervisor? What's the protocol?
I'd love to see them talk to their supervisor or step forward as units, say, look what we can do, look what we have found, look at the change we have made. But we're getting a lot of spontaneous suggestions from line staff, and that's a good idea too. We're setting up a special email box for those. We have recruited Purdue's own TAP program, which is a group of experts who have a thriving service working with businesses which are seeking to become more efficient. And we've asked them to work on our own business and perhaps to involve some students from Cranford or elsewhere in maybe following up some of the suggestions we'll get or certainly initiating projects where we think we see the chance to do something more efficiently, save some money, and dedicate it to the Student Affordability Fund.
The Washington, D.C. lobbying office is being restructured. Mm-hmm. Is this part of the $40 million savings, or was this something planned already?
It wasn't motivated by that. It was primarily motivated by a desire to refocus the office on things that I think can be most valuable to the university. Saw a way to do that. Now, in the process, we're going to save a couple hundred thousand dollars, which is a good thing. So we'll credit that, I guess, times two for 2 years to the affordability fund once we've validated the savings. But there'll be lower rent and so forth. Some consultants won't be on the payroll. But no, that's a consequence, was not the principal motivation.
Purdue President Mitch Daniels, thanks so much for coming in.
Anytime.
And the email for Purdue employees to make suggestions is savings@purdue.edu. You're listening to WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo.